Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
Hello, this is Music from the Tower, and we are here today with a very special guest, Lucas Hassler. Lucas, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Well, you can tell by Lucas's accent that he is not a Southern California native.
True.
He is here visiting. We are so lucky to have him. He's here playing organ recitals. Lucas is an organist, and he comes to us from Graz, Austria.
True.
Welcome. It's so
good
to
have
you. Lucas has played on this trip at the L.A. Cathedral, Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. And where else are you playing on this concert tour?
I will be playing at Bayshore Church on Friday.
In Long Beach,
in
right?
Long Beach.
Okay.
Exactly.
But this is not your first concert tour to America, right?
No, it's my fifth concert
tour.
Wow,
how does that happen? You're like 5 years old. No, actually, you're 22, right? 22, 23?
Well, I'm 22,
okay.
So it all started.
So how does somebody have five concert tours to the U.S. at 22 years old?
Yeah, it all started in 2016 when Mark Thalander, you know him quite well.
Yes, our wonderful Mark Thalander, who was a longtime organist here at Crystal Cathedral and is the mastermind of our big Mark Thalander Foundation Festival, which is coming in here back to the cathedral, finally back to the cathedral after all this time of construction in October of 2019. So we're really excited, but Mark is a good friend of all of ours. I think he's a good friend of every organist in the country.
So
how did you meet Mark?
Yeah, Mark wrote me on Facebook. I mean, that's a new thing.
And yes, he told me,
and he told me, think big and ask people if you can play there. And so I asked to play at the Cola, the Cathedral of the Lady of Our Angels in Los Angeles downtown. And so they let me play there, and it all began in 2016. And here we go.
So you've played there already now twice, right?
Yeah, it's my third time.
Okay, great. Well, I'm sorry I wasn't there yesterday, but I'm sure it was spectacular. Your playing is amazing. As a 22-year-old, are you still in college? Have you finished your bachelor's degree?
I'm still in college, named University in Austria.
Yes.
So I'm at the University of Music and Performing Arts in Graz, Austria. And I will finish my bachelor's degree next June. So
I dare say there are no students here finishing their bachelor's degree who have had five concert tours to the U.S.
Don't you think?
I don't think so. But there are many other places that you played as well, right, besides the U.S.?
Yes, I was in Moscow and Bryansk, so Russia, last month in August. It was my first concert tour there. And I'm often in Germany, or I will be in London in November. So lots of traveling. I'm playing there at the Grosvenor Chapel in London downtown.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. And is that the same advice Mark gave you? You just write them and ask to play?
Well, nowadays it's easier for me because people ask me right now.
Isn't that great?
But it all started in 2016, and of course I had to ask before. But now it's going better and better, and I got many invitations.
Well, and sometimes it's just having played different places. You know, if you play there, and sometimes you play there again, obviously it must be a great performance.
True, like a reinvitation.
Yes,
yeah,
that's great. So, where do you go from here? You know, when you leave the university, what are your hopes? Are you going to be just a concert organist, a church organist?
Well, we'll see. I will finish my bachelor's degree in June, and then we'll go on with the master's, of course.
And where will you do that? Do you have a school picked out?
Well, maybe I will be there in Graz.
Maybe
in Graz or in Munich. I mean,
okay.
We'll see.
All right.
Not I haven't decided
not,
yet.
Not Juilliard? Not a U.S. school?
Maybe. It could be. We'll see what happens after June.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm quite flexible, to be honest.
Well, yes, you seem to be. You've already run several prizes. Your bio includes many prizes. Where have you won these prizes?
I've played some competitions in Austria.
Yeah.
So some international prizes in composition. And yeah, I will play another competition in November. It will be in Graz, and it's called the Mater de Belli Wettbewerb, and we'll see what happens then.
Okay, very good. And you also have won piece prizes for composition as well.
True.
So are you a composition major, a performance major, a dual major?
I'm a performance major.
In the organ.
But, yeah, in the organ, but I love to compose. So I won a prize for a piece called La Suite pour le piano et la violine. For that piece, I wrote three movements, and yeah, it chose me.
Oh, it's wonderful. That's great. So have you written some pieces for the organ as well?
Yes, I wrote one toccata for the organ also.
Okay, all right. And have you played that in recitals?
No, I was too shy.
You're holding back your piece. Okay.
True, we'll
all
see.
Right. Well, we'll have to pry that out of you when you come here to play Hazel someday. We're looking forward to a return visit, no doubt. And I know you played even our organ in the Arboretum, our wonderful Fred Swan organ. It's
Swan
so
organ.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I was there last year. No, it was in January.
Yes, you were here, and you were on concert tour then as well.
True, yeah. That was my fourth tour.
Wow. Where else have you played in the U.S.?
Well, I played in St. Thomas, New York City.
And not the new organ, but the Aeolian Square.
Yeah, the Aeolian
Square. Now you'll have to make a return visit there. They have their beautiful new organ.
I guess it's
up and running. Huh?
Yeah. We'll see.
we'd all love to go to New York and hear the dedication. David and I were thinking about, well, maybe we should take a little trip. And
you should go there, definitely.
Hear the dedication.
You should.
Yeah, we'd love to. That's a very special church to all of us who have studied in the New York area. You know, I went there as a student. I know David and I went there when he was a student, you know, and just to hear the even songs and the beautiful organ recitals. What a great musical mecca that church is.
It's
well,
beautiful.
Congratulations for playing there. Where else have you played?
Thank you.
Have you played at St. Patrick's yet?
No, not.
Oh, you
no.
must do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have
That's
to do that.
Beautiful
I know. We'll see. I was in Maine. I've played, many
Vermont's,
places in Ogunquit and, of course, in Portland, Maine, in Lewiston I played. And, Washington, D.C., Epiphany Church, very gorgeous organ.
What kind of an instrument is that? Is that a lively Fulcher?
That's an Aeolian Skinner.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, different other places. I can't remember, to be honest.
Well, is that something?
In Glendale City Church, for example, so lots of concerts here in L.A.
Well, that's wonderful, and we hope that we will be on your concert list at some point. Well, I think we ought to hear a little music. We've talked about this fine performer, this very young performer, and he's playing some gigantic pieces on today's program. You're going to hear Liszt and Mendelssohn and Buxtehude and Reger, and we're going to talk a lot more to him, but let's start with the biggest barn burner that Liszt created, the Prelude and Fugue on BACH. Where did you perform this wonderful piece?
I performed this in Lyon in France, and we recorded it some months ago for a CD. So, here we go. Now that's a Macklin
organ.
Organ
was actually moved to Lyon, wasn't it? It was actually in the Trocadero at one time. And was moved to Lyon. Is that true, or am I mixed up?
Not this organ.
Not that one. Is it in the cathedral?
No, it's next to the cathedral.
Oh, okay.
It's in Saint-Georges.
I think
next
the one
to
in the cathedral was from the Trocadero.
That's true, yes. But no, that's the Macklin organ in the church next to the cathedral, like the first parishioners' church in Lyon.
All right. Well, here you are, Lucas Hassler. Yes, Hassler. Say your name for us.
Hassler.
Yes, he really says it well, Hassler. It's a good thing it's your name, right? He's playing Franz Liszt, really known more for piano than organ, but he wrote this very big piece on the name of BACH. And so those four notes are heard over and over and over. In German, the H is really B natural, right? The B is really B flat. So that's how you get the word BACH out of music in the German scope. So here he is and playing it on an organ in France. And we'll be right back with a lot more from this amazing young artist.
You're listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Welcome back to Music from the Tower. This is John Romero, your host, and we are here with Lucas Hassler. Lucas is a wonderful organist. He's on concert tour here in the United States for the fifth time. Is this correct?
True, yeah.
Five concert tours to the U.S., and he's 22 years old. Here's a review. This is a review. The church's magnificent Aeolian Skinner under Hassler's gifted hands, in quotes, and feet, rewarded the audience with a kaleidoscope of beautiful and stirring and inspiring, often magical sounds. How do you feel about such a review? That was fantastic.
Yeah, I felt and so honored.
Where was that? Do you remember where that review was talking about? Which organ?
I think I played at the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Long
Beach.
Oh,
yes, here in Long Beach. Okay,
yeah,
very
good. At Peter
good.
Bates Church.
So, yeah, so Peter is a fine organist and a wonderful proponent of especially young artists. You know, that's
true.
Well, at such a young age, it's wonderful to see the organ thriving under the hands of these wonderful young artists. So let's talk a little bit about your history and your brief history of 22 years. I have soccer that are older than 22 years, but I am always fascinated by how somebody came to become an organist. And I often ask this question of people in the studio because I think people are always fascinated what leads someone to the organ. Often it's they heard it in church or there's always a tie somehow to some wonderful organ and to an organist who sort of led you there. What's your backstory here? Were your parents musical? Did you come to it through your family?
Yeah, my mother is a headmaster of a primary school, so she plays the guitar and she sings. So that's also a kind of musical background. But I started playing the piano when I was 6. And then moved to the organ when I was 9.
Wow.
So originally I was altar boy, and the priest asked me to play the organ. I mean, an old story, as
well,
you know.
that kind of story has been in this studio before.
Yeah, you know, I think
it's just, you know, when I was in 8th grade, I was removed from altar boys because I could play the stations, you know.
Oh,
so I
see,
play the stations. My voice had changed, so boom, I was out of the kids' choir and in the adult choir.
So we have the same history.
The next thing you know, I'm playing.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. We were free labor, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what about, so that was a pretty quick transition from piano to organ.
True.
Who were some of your mentors? Who were some of the, was it the organist from the church or?
Yeah, my first teacher in piano was also an organist. So she told me also how to play the organ. I mean the normal skills, like where the pedals are, like really very on a low niveau. But then I moved on into a kind of university, pre-university school.
Okay, nice.
And had some good and very fine teachers. And then here we go at the high school, like the university in Austria, as we call it.
And this is all happening in the city of Graz?
Yeah, it was in Graz, and before
it
was, my hometown is called Geishorn. It's a very small and tiny village in the mountains in the Alps with around 1,000 inhabitants, so really a small village, and there it all began.
That's an amazing story. And for most Americans, they know Graz is the city of Ames, you know, where these young singers go to launch their European opera careers. And they often hire young American performers. My son has been in the orchestra there at Graz. And the difference between the orchestra members and the singers is the singers pay to be there and the orchestra members actually get paid. And my son toured Europe while he was at those jobs because the singers have to learn their music on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the orchestra travels everywhere. Every week of that summer, those couple summers, he would call me and say, well, today I'm in Bohemia. Today I'm in, you know, all over the place, Croatia.
They travel all over Syria.
Yes, they traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
This little band of orchestra players.
Yeah. While lots the singers of gigs were, there. Yeah.
While the singers were learning all their notes, then they would go back and do these big operas and all these performances for some of the most notable opera companies would come to hear these young American singers. Did you ever attend the Graz Ames concerts?
Not actively,
but
I know many of them, many of the singers and many of the orchestral players there. And I have some good friends who are at the board of Ames. So, I'm quite connected to that festival.
It's a pretty well-known festival. Here.
It is, yeah.
So many of
and
our
it's
singers.
It's really old. I mean, it was founded in the 60s, I think. So
right.
It has a strong connection,
My
to Kansas City.
My son plays with the one who actually is the orchestra manager, is also a flute player. And
I know him quite well.
Yes, David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David.
David is the first chair of the Harrisburg Symphony and often plays with my son. The two of them are just magic on the flute together. I love it to hear the two of them play. They're actually performing this week in Harrisburg together.
So, it's just a small world,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's amazing how many people we know in common. So you studied the organ, and were your teachers just amazed at your progress? Or how did you get to go from just a young boy playing the organ to playing these big, giant pieces and then touring? Were your parents amazed? Did they say, are you really going to have a living at this this job of being an organist?
Yes, they were, but... To be honest, it was just by accident, because I thought I have to play the exam after my studies, of course, like a 70-minute concert.
Sure.
So I have to get practice to get conditioned for this exam. And so I asked to play at churches and to play concerts in order to get practice and to be prepared for it.
Do you right now have a church job? Do you play every Sunday somewhere?
I do. I have
Except
a church
job. Except
when you're
touring all over the U.S.
That's true. I have two church jobs.
Okay.
In the Apostoria, like in Gaishan, in my home village.
Home village.
And also in another small village. And I also play at the Franciscan Church in Graz.
And do you conduct choirs? I mean, is that part of your interest? Would you like to become a church musician? Would you like to continue to just give concerts? I mean, do you see yourself becoming a concert organist at some point?
Yeah, I founded a choir in 2015, and we are now around 30 members.
That's great.
So I'm also choir conducting. And yeah, I do lots of orchestral masses of Mozart, Haydn. Yeah, we did. And some Schubert, of course.
So conducting is a little bit of your passion as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's a kind of a hobby.
It's
yeah.
kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, and it probably speaks to this review about how colorful. I mean, I think orchestral people really think differently when they approach the organ.
True,
don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I think that when somebody thinks about how a piece might be orchestrated yeah. on the organ, they think, well, what instrument would really cover that?
True.
Rather than pulling
I really
out.
Think of an orchestra
yes.
when
and
setting the stops.
Of, yes, yeah. exactly. And I think that makes a very different kind of organist. Yeah. I see it in David's playing, our David Ball here at the Christ Cathedral, because I think that's the way Paul Jacobs thinks.
Yeah.
You know, I think he really orchestrates things even in Bach rather than pulling out a plano and playing it straight through.
That's true,
you know,
yeah.
I think he's a very creative. And I think that's what sort of sets those kind of organists apart.
Yeah, I really love to discover all the different sound colors at the organ. So I think it's a big orchestra which you have to conduct, as you
right.
said, yeah,
you're
as
just
you mentioned,
pulling out
yeah.
the colors and sort of orchestrating as you go. So.
Yeah, true.
What about improvisation? Is that something you like to do?
Yes, I really love to do improvising about film themes, for example.
Oh, wow.
And I did some concerts 2 weeks ago in Düsseldorf and also in Austria in Innsbruck.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And I played two silent movie improvisations there.
Wow.
So that was quite fun.
Well, we better hear a little more music, but we're going to explore that a little bit more, Lucas. Now tell us what we're going to hear. We're going to hear a little bit of Mendelssohn, yes?
Yes.
Now, does that just happen to be your favorite composer?
Yes, that's
oh,
true.
Okay.
I love Mendelssohn. I adore also his orchestral works. I mean, his symphonies are
yes,
gorgeous.
Yes, the Italian symphony,
yeah.
all of them.
Wow.
So beautiful. And have you recorded all the works of Mendelssohn?
No, not yet.
Maybe
yet.
That's an album coming to us soon. Yes.
That would be the best idea.
Yes, yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And you heard it first here on Music from the Towers, folks. When he's a famous organist all over the world with his Mendelssohn CD in hand, that idea was sparked right here at Music from the Towers.
True.
All right.
I will come back and tell you.
We're going to hear one of the fugues, the fugue in D.
In D
this
minor.
This is from one of the preludes in fugues.
Yeah, one of the three preludes. And I will play the fugue out of it.
All right. This is Music from the Tower with this wonderful budding young organist. And we will be right back with a whole lot more and a lot more music. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Music from the Tower. You've been just hearing Lucas play a little more Mendelssohn for us. Lucas, this is the Mendelssohn Third Sonata, right? Mendelssohn wrote six sonatas, and at the end of the beginning of the Third Sonata is a huge piece. But at the end of the Third Sonata is this beautiful piece we've just been hearing. And this, tell us where you recorded this as well.
Yes, I also recorded it in Lyon. At the same church, at the same organ, Merklin organ, for a CD. And
is this CD already out?
Yes, it's out.
Okay, and we'll maybe put a link where people could purchase this
CD. Yeah, that would be great.
If that will absolutely do it. You remember, folks, that all of our links and the shows are all at ChristCathedralMusic.org. So we will absolutely have a link there so you can get a whole CD. What's on this CD? All Mendelssohn or a whole mix of things?
No, there are some Mendelssohn pieces and also pieces with choir. Also John Rutter, for example.
Okay.
Because we did this CD in order to get some money for the restoration of this organ.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
It was a very nice project we did in November last year.
Excellent. And did they import you in? How did they know about you?
Yes, they import me. Okay. Because I'm playing there like twice or three times a year as an organist at this church. So they know me.
Our Mark Salinger gave you good advice, didn't he, to go out there and just play up a storm. Just insert yourself everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking a little bit about the difference between a church organist and a concert organist. Sounds like you've had a taste of both worlds, haven't you?
Yes.
You know, playing in church, directing choirs, you know, that's what most of us do. You know, there's probably one great concert organist and 100 organists.
True.
And the rest of us become church musicians. We try our best to keep up our craft and keep our art. But there are very few, at least here in the United States, very few organists who can make their full living as concert organists. I think of somebody like Stephen Tharp.
Yeah.
You know, he's an organist in residence in New York City, which means he can float in and out of town at will. Happy to have him when he's home, but happy to also know he's out playing concerts all over the place, you know, making CDs and premiering works. And, you know, is that the kind of profession you'd like to do?
That would be great. I mean, that would be the big dream, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm quite flexible, as I mentioned, and we'll see what opportunities are there. So,
well,
if traveling,
your first 22 years are any indication, I can't imagine what the next 22 years will hold for.
Well, I love traveling, so that would be the best thing for me, to see where I can go and what I can do. Also not just playing concerts, but also playing masses, services, giving organ recitals all over the places, and master classes.
Do you like to teach as well? Do you have organ students of your own?
Yes, I do have two private organ students in class.
Very good. A little organ scholars on the way?
Yes, some two little kids.
Oh, that's great.
Who just started playing the organ.
We have our five organ scholars here that David teaches, and every now and then they're playing on the weekends, all the preludes and postludes. I love it.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
and it's exactly the way David started as well. You know, coming to the organ, I feel any of us that have a large instrument, you know, that's the way to attract somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not with some little junky electronic, but when we have these beautiful instruments, you know, the kids are hooked almost instantly. You know, when they hear what their little piece sounds like, when they sit down at Fred or imagine at Hazel.
It's so important that to show them the big and colorful organ.
Yes, exactly. And to help them register and do all those things. And well, it sounds like you have some great things. It'll be fun to follow your career and see where it takes you, you know. I think of somebody like a Paul Jacobs. You know, he's really the master teacher here in the U.S., just fabulous. But he has really kept his concert career going. You know, he's premiering pieces with orchestras all the time. He's all over the place and playing brilliant concerts. He's going to close our regional convention here in Orange County this coming year. And, you know, he's certainly on our very, very, very short list for dedicating Hazel. So that's going to be exciting. So we talked a little tiny bit about playing films. Is this something brand new to you?
Yes, that's brand new to me. I started with it half a year ago, and I have a mentor in Graz. And
somebody that's helping you get this.
Yes.
It's a scary thing, isn't it?
It is. Because, it's not so easy, because you can't show every single key. I mean, you have to have a feeling for it. And you have to have this leitmotif technique. Like, you really have to create some melodies for every single character. And if a character shows up in the film, you have to remind the audience that this theme is this character.
Yeah.
And that's quite not easy, of course, but makes lots of fun.
So do you have a little sheet with all the little motives? Do you write them out?
Yeah. Normally I have, especially in the beginning. I'm sorry.
And also the sound effects for doorbells and train whistles and all those things that go in.
You have to register all the things, and you really have to have big organs.
I mean, I think if some of the people actually, he's even been on the show, like Stephen Ball, Dr. Ball is probably the finest improviser for silent movies in this country. And, you know, does them everywhere. And every time I listen to him, I'm lost, you know. I'm just lost in the amazement of what he's doing. You know, you almost kind of forget he's there. And you're watching this film and you're hearing all these sound effects. And you almost forget that it's coming from the organ.
Yeah. And it's
not
live
this
music.
Movie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was just at a concert recently with John Williams, and we were watching a film. It was at the Hollywood Bowl, and Steven Spielberg came out and played a whole clip of a film with no music.
Wow.
And they just had speaking, and you're watching, and you think, oh, that's okay. Yeah. And then out came John Williams to conduct the L.A. Phil to put the soundtrack to that little clip. And it was amazing how that just came to life. I mean, you must feel the same as an organist.
Yeah.
You know, to see that film come alive, come off the screen with your improv. Is that something you'd like to continue to
do? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I really want to go forward with this. And I hope so to play some silent movies in future, near future. So, yeah, I'm preparing some films now, and we'll see what's happening.
And is that what somebody does? They just choose five or six films to have in your
repertoire.
That's the word I was struggling with. And so that you have this repertoire, and when somebody asks you to do a silent film, you say, well, we could do this one or this one or this one. And then you'll continue like normal repertoire to add more films to you.
Yeah, I find it also a good idea to play very normal, as we call it, normal organ concert, but include, for example, one silent movie. Like one movie which, I don't know, has 2 minutes, 12 minutes, I mean, or 15 minutes.
Yeah,
so
they're not
just
huge,
a part,
especially those old
like a part on the concert. So that would be also a nice idea, and I'm working on that, and we'll see what's happening.
Good for you. Well, that's exciting. We'll have to get you and Stephen Ball together sometime. Have you met Stephen?
No.
He is
but
amazing.
I would love to.
Yeah, he's got lots of recordings and a lot of these Fox. He's just taking a brand new job in St. Louis, and of course, they have a big Fox Theater there, so I'm certain he'll have some exciting things coming out. He was the organist for the last maybe 8 or 9 years at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City with that big, gigantic organ that actually pushed our Hazel down to the fifth largest organ. We used to be the fourth
beast
when I arrived. So, all right. Well, I think we should hear perhaps another piece, and this one is by our friend Dietrich Buxtehude. This is the Prelude and Fugue in F major, is it?
Yes.
F major?
I recorded it in my high school time when I was, I think when I was 15. I recorded this in
Admont. So this is you at 15 playing?
Yes.
And where was it recorded?
In Admont, in a monastery in the middle of the Alps, in the middle of nowhere, as you can imagine. No, it's next to my home village. So.
Okay. Did you call them up and ask them to play there?
Yes, well, there I went to school there, so
there
wasn't
so
a big
all
problem.
About you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, here's a little Dietrich Buxtehude from our friend Lucas Hassler. Lucas, we'll be right back with a whole lot more about the wonderful career of this young man. We'll talk a little bit more about the difference between the organ in Europe and the difference between the organ in the United States. Do stay tuned. This is Music from the Tower. Thank you.
You're listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Welcome back. This is Music from the Tower, and today we have this wonderful young artist from Austria, Graz, Austria, Lukas Hasler. Yes?
That's perfect. Oh, I mean, your spelling is gorgeous.
My German. I'm so not German. But anyway, I'm so happy to have Lukas here on the campus again. He came to visit us earlier this year. And so let's talk a little bit in our final segment today, before we hear some wonderful Reger performance. Let's talk a little bit about the differences between playing recital here in the U.S., and how you see the organ as promoted here in the U.S. as to the way it is in Europe. Is it different? Is it seem different to you?
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, definitely. Because, there are different organs and different types of organs. Like in the U.S., you always have more of sound colors. Like in Europe, for example, we have lots of tracker organs and lots of conservative tracker organs for church playing and not for playing concerts. So here in the States, you're much more flexible. I can see it because I'm from Austria and it's quite hard to, for example, improvise silent movies because we don't really have the organs there.
You don't have all those colors. Yeah.
Well, in Graz, we have one big organ, one big romantic organ, and there you have a good crescendo waltz, so you can really go on. But that's not the case in many churches.
Yes, it's smaller.
So it's quite hard, yeah.
And sort of by the country, you know, like French organs tend to have lots of reeds and lots of France, and even Spain has those big horizontal trumpets. But Germany, much more the planos and just the normal organ sounds.
True.
So it does. In Italy, they're all just crazy little one-manual ridiculous organs that are never very colorful at all, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always different in the regions. But you're right. The American organs tend to be, sometimes we say, American classic.
Yeah. You know, have a kind of standard organ
yes, there's
here.
A sort of standard organ, I think. Probably Aeolian Skinner helped us develop that, you know, the beautiful Aeolian Skinner sound, which we possess too on this campus, you know.
And the Cassavant,
and
of course.
Cassavant, of course, is so beautiful. But they all tend to be, you know, rather standard in America with lots of colors. We have lots of large instruments here. What about just recital attendance? Do you find people come out to the recitals here? Many of our recitals are free. We try to always have a cost here on the campus. I always felt like the recitals should not be free.
Yeah.
That, you know, we work hard to develop our craft. And I know the LA Cathedral, their recitals are free.
For example,
For example.
There are big differences, of course. If you're
are most
countryside
recitals that you play in Europe for free?
Not most of them. I mean, they, of course, can just come, but especially the evening concerts.
They will charge
a ticket price, yes. And so it's depending on where you are. I mean, in
like
cities. In bigger locations in Vienna, for example, or even in Graz, you will find more offers, like organ concerts there. And a lot of organ concerts, yeah. Than in smaller countries and smaller places, like in my hometown, for example.
Not too many,
of course not. So it's always a question of possibilities. And there is much more diversity in Europe, I mean, between the countries, as you have already mentioned, than here in the States. So you really have to be flexible in order to get used to the different types and kinds of organs, because you have these tracker organs. So it's always not really possible to play as quick as in the States, for example.
Well, and to our viewers at home listening and thinking, well, we've mentioned the word tracker twice, but that really just means you have a direct connection to the pipes. Every pipe has a little door underneath. You pull that door down and the air shoots through like a giant whistle, box of whistles.
Yeah.
And so when you push that key on a tracker organ, you're actually physically opening that door.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
You have a bigger connection and a stronger connection to the pipes.
Yeah,
so you can really create
love
a sound.
That connection. Now, I played on a huge Von Baccarat in the cathedral in Pittsburgh. That was my first cathedral job. And I'm telling you, it was you would play a big service with many stops on, and your arms would be sore for a day, you know, because you're playing.
It's like bodybuilding.
There was no tracker assist, performance assisting in that organ at the time.
Yeah.
And you really, if you add two stops, it's twice as heavy as one stop. If you add 10 stops or couple the manuals together, you're really physically
pulling all those
doors down.
Yeah.
Whereas on an electro-pneumatic organ, which most of us have in the United States, you just play and the electric impulse drags it down. So you could have 100 stops on or one stop. It feels the same as a keyboard person.
So as a European organist, you really have to get used to that. And
because
then
you can play very fast.
Yes, of course. Especially for Rega, for example, we are trained to push and pull very hard because the tracker action is quite strong. So we have to push
over to the gym before you can play Rega, right?
Sometimes, sometimes like 200 or 300 grams a key.
Of pressure.
Yeah, of pressure, yeah.
And especially on a piece like Rega where you're playing whole chords.
Yes.
You know, it's not single notes like a Bach Trio Sonata.
You have to play with your body. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
True.
And here you can really, I mean, I think of my own teachers saying, you know, to keep your hands relaxed. It's all about the relaxation of being able to play fast and to roll your arms just a little bit. Even one of my mentors, André Marchal from France, and Langlais, they all said, you know, you touch the key, you barely move, you know, you sit still. And that's not the way you play a great big tracker, you know.
Yeah.
But some of the French organists had electro-pneumatics at Saint-Cloud.
Hard Baker.
You know, they knew how to perform on those instruments, and it made it easy for them when they came to do concerts. Does it take you a little time to get used to an organ here?
Yeah, first time. I mean, my first concert was at the Cola in L.A. downtown, so it was a big difference to me because I've played two pieces of Rega, and I was wondering why it was so smooth.
So easy going.
Yeah. So it was the first wow effect. Yeah.
Well, and don't you think that's one of the big differences between us and most other instrumentalists? A violinist comes, they open their case, they pull out their violin, and they play. So they know every idiosyncrasy of that instrument. They know where it's sharp, where it's flat, how well it tunes, all these things, where to get the most resonance. We sit down and it's somebody else's instrument.
Yes.
You know, so we have to get used to the touch and where the knobs are, where the stops are. You know, you have to reach over and grab something and it might not be at all where you remember it being.
True.
You know?
Yeah. That makes it much easier here in the States because you have a kind of standard organ. You know where the couplers are, for example.
Right.
So that's all different in Europe.
Right.
Even if you're changing the country.
The way the pedal board is.
Of course.
Our pedal boards are all kind of concave.
We
have an American Guild of Organists standard, which is a really nice thing. I was just with my choir this summer going from Spain to France to Italy, and every place
So you're a victim
down,
of our
yeah,
organs.
I'm totally a victim. Everywhere I sat down, the organ was different. This one had short octave, which means there's keys missing at the bottom. This one was tracker. This one was Italian, which meant most of it didn't work. This one was...
Welcome to diversity.
Yes,
I mean.
But it's one of the pitfalls of being an organist. You know, you don't have that. You sit down. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
You know, you need time always.
Yeah, that's the big challenge.
To prepare a recital. Yeah. It's a huge challenge. Well, it's certainly something that this fine young 22-year-old concert organist, I can't wait to interview you again on another concert tour. When are you coming back to the
US? You so much. Yeah, we'll come back in February next year in 2019.
And where will you be playing?
I will
here
be playing
in Southern California again?
Yes, also in Southern California and in Santa Monica. And then I will be playing in Illinois and also
Where in Illinois?
In Springfield and Chicago.
Okay, at the Cathedral, Catholic Cathedral in Springfield?
True.
They have a wonderful new organ there.
Yes.
Where in Chicago?
In Wheaton, in St. Joseph.
Okay, yeah. With my friend Chris Orff.
True.
Yes, Chris is a wonderful guy, and they have a beautiful organ there, very beautiful organ.
I've already played it in January last year.
Oh, that's great. Have you performed there already?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
so it was a great concert, and I'm really looking forward to coming back.
Yeah, now
there.
That you, it's kind of fun because you know the instruments.
Yes, yes.
You know, well, you'll have to come
and the
back.
Acoustics are great there. So.
Oh, it's a wonderful parish, and Chris is such a great host, I'm sure. He was in St. Louis when I was at the cathedral there all those years.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, he was at the cathedral before I was. He was interim for a month or so before I came.
Okay.
So he always said, I followed Chris Orff. Well, this was a delightful visit with you. I and all my listeners will be looking forward to seeing just where this wonderful career takes you. And
Thank you so much.
It's taking you to the United States on several
visits.
We will be looking forward to a wonderful visit the day you come here to play our beautiful Hazel in a year or so when she's finally up and playing. And thank you so much. Our last piece is the introduction in Passacaglia of Reger. Wow, what a piece.
Yeah.
More notes per square inch than any other piece by music in musician terms. And where did you perform this wonderful piece?
Yes, this was also performed in the monastery of Admont.
Okay.
And the Alps, that's the ending, the big ending piece. And yeah, thanks for having me here.
Well,
and thanks
it was
for
our
the invitation.
Pleasure. It was absolutely our pleasure. And as always, this is Music from the Tower, and we encourage you to go out and listen to live performance. And maybe that live performance will find Lukas Hassler on the organ bench. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Music from the Tower. Thank you, Lukas.
Thank you.